Mark Morales, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Morales, we would be invisible. We wouldn't be, what would you say, mute. We wouldn't have the inability to speak.
We would still speak. You just wouldn't see us.
It would be twice as frustrating for Morales. He couldn't yell at us.
Which is radio. We speak and you don't see us. So the invisibility thing wouldn't make a difference.
Hey, I spent 28 years in TV news. Radio is way better. You don't have to get all dressed up and wear makeup and radio.
What are you?
Great.
You're at home right now. What are you actually wearing?
I'm wearing a pair of shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm wearing a pair of sweatshorts and a hoodie.
There you go.
I'm living in my hoodie. Lindsay, you're in Oh, by the way, Lindsay last night went to see a movie.
And Lindsay, did you get into the Browns game tonight?
I'm not going to go because it's going to be we could get into it later, but I'm not going to go because it's I'm not going to be able to walk around or anything like that, and I really don't want to be stuck in a press box with
people. Okay. But how was the movie? You went to see Tenet last night. How many people were in the theater? By the way, Lindsay is in Cleveland right now producing the show. How many people were in the theater?
There was a total of, besides myself and my friend, there was a total of 6 other people. And so you'd buy your ticket, they block off the 2 seats next to you, in front of you, and there was, it was no big deal. I sent you guys a picture of the completely empty theater.
It looked empty, And what did you think of the, movie? I've been waiting to see this movie.
It was good. I think it was worth the trip to the movies, for sure. It was crazy, it'll mess with your head, but it was really good.
Excellent.
And at any point, did you feel unsafe?
No, not at all.
There you have it. So maybe movies will come back. Let's hope. Lakers getting ready for game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals, Western Conference finals tomorrow night here on ESPN.
We dusted those guys.
We crushed
hey,
them.
Mace, conference semifinals are for the Clippers, please.
Yes, they are. 4 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock tip tomorrow. We do have game 2 of the Eastern Conference finals coming up for you tonight. Miami won a thriller in game 1. We got that game for you. Game 2.
Great.
Today with a 4 o'clock tip, so we're off a little bit early. John, there are a lot of people saying, first of all, let's go to Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson, I think this was on the Get Up this morning, or it was on the Jump yesterday. I'm not sure which, but he has a forecast for the Western Conference Finals.
Well, I got the Nuggets in 7. They have not given me any reason to doubt them thus far in the postseason, other than being down 3-1 a couple of times. But I'm not. I'm going to be the first one in the media to give them credit and say that they can do this in 7. Prove me right, Jamal.
They deserve a little credit. They did go on a magical run. They did come out of a couple of 3-1 holes. Good for them. They're a spunky little bunch. But why isn't Richard Jefferson giving the Lakers more credit? They've won 8 out of 10 so far in the playoffs. Why is he not giving the Lakers credit, John?
All right, first of all, let's say a couple of things. I am taking the Nuggets more seriously than you are.
I'd say Lakers in 5.
I believe your line was, bring me my cake.
Bring me my cake. It's a cakewalk.
Yeah, I do not think it's a cakewalk. I have Lakers in 6. That's number one. Number two, I love Richard Jefferson. I think he's great.
He's great.
I think he's great on the air. I think he's a great guy off the air. I love him. But a little history here.
Yeah.
Richard Jefferson's best friend is Luke Walton. Best friend in the world.
Oh.
So
saying there's hard feelings.
Yeah. I think that he cannot bring himself to pick the Lakers. He's a great guy, but I think that he's picking with his heart and not his head. I think if you analyze this series just on its basketball merits,
yes,
the Lakers are the better team. The Lakers won 3 out of 4 games during the season.
And the Lakers will dominate.
And Mace, even if you throw out 2 of the games, and I do, I throw out 2 of the games they played during the season.
Which ones?
The first one was the one in December at Staples Center because LeBron didn't play. It was the first game of the season that he missed. I think any game LeBron doesn't play in, you throw out automatically because he's the best player on the Lakers.
But they won, right?
No, Denver won.
Oh, Denver won. Okay,
easily.
So you're throwing that game out.
And then the second game I'm throwing out is the seeding game in the bubble. Lakers won on the Kyle Kuzma jumper at the end.
Yep.
And I'm throwing that out because the Nuggets didn't play any of their starters in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, just a seeding game. I understand that. So that means the Lakers were 2-0 against the Nuggets straight up.
Right. And both games were in Denver. and the second game went overtime. But the thing that jumps out at you about both of those games is how dominant Anthony Davis was.
Yeah.
And in the first game, he had the flu. Michael and I did that game in Denver, and he was on an IV. Like, we had heard there's a chance he won't play.
Yep.
But he played 37 minutes, had 25 points and 10 rebounds. LeBron had 25, 6, and 9. And Dwight Howard had 13.6 rebounds in just 19 minutes. So, in other words, two of the Lakers' three big men played well, and Jokic really struggled. He made just 4 out of 12 shots. He finished at 13 points. Okay, so that was in early December. So let's say you throw that out. You know, it wasn't Jokic's night. Lakers played well. So then they met basically the game before the All-Star break in the middle of February.
Right.
Okay. Lakers won 120 to 116 in overtime. LeBron had 32, 14, and 12.
Whew.
One of LeBron's best games of the season.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis had 7 of his 33 in the overtime. And again, Mace, I point to Dwight Howard. 14 points, 11 rebounds off the bench. And Caruso played great in that game. He had 10.6 rebounds, 4 assists. Caruso's plus minus in that game was plus 23, and that was 13 points better than any player on either team.
You're just loaded with sassy stats today.
Right. So I did all my homework for the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So it, to me, favors the Lakers by any metric you look at. Does that mean the Nuggets couldn't win it? Of course not. The Nuggets are hot. Jokic is probably playing the best ball of his career. But I think you could make a strong statistical argument from about 7 different directions that the Lakers are the team to beat in this series.
So I'm going Nuggets in 5, and then Lakers in 6 in the finals. Nuggets in 5, Lakers in 6 in the finals. Yeah, I don't care which one. I don't care which one.
Okay, because you know they only played Boston once.
Right.
The second game was wiped out due to COVID, and Boston was pretty dominant in that game.
But, I mean, the Lakers are just on fire right now. They are playing brilliantly and have since the playoffs started. I don't know what anybody else is looking at. They have been basically immaculate. They've won 8 out of 10. LeBron and AD have been ridiculously good. Some role player steps up every single night and surprises us, whether it's Markieff Morris or it's Alex Caruso.
Playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo. I mean, this team is absolutely loaded, and clearing the Clippers from the field, to me, clears the way to a championship.
Well, speaking of all this,
I'm getting ready. I've got a virtual lawn chair on Figueroa ready for the virtual parade.
Speaking of all this, everything we're talking about, Frank Vogel, the Lakers head coach, is expected to join us today during this show as soon as he gets done with practice down in the bubble. We don't know the exact time, so you got to stay tuned, and we'll get a chance to talk to Frank and get his thoughts about what's happening down there. But I love the Lakers' chances. I think they're uniquely positioned to win the title. If you go to Vegas, they're now the clear favorite to win the title.
Sure.
But you still got to play the games.
Yes.
And I know from 2004 when I packed 3 suits to go to Detroit, and the 3rd suit I packed, I said, I better pack a suit that I really don't care about, because if the Lakers win all 3 games, it'll get drenched in champagne.
Yes.
And I could not have been more wrong. Detroit won all 3 games and won the series.
Right, right.
So the favorite doesn't always win. You still have to play the games. But I love where the Lakers are, and I love the way they're playing.
Let everybody know, first of all, Thursdays are going to be a big deal on the show, because first of all, our professional sports bettor Steve Fezzik will join us.
The Fez.
And I've gotten so many DMs from people, John, saying, the Fez, when is he coming back? I won so many games last year. Remember, he picked 11 out of 12 weeks. He had a winner against the spread last year.
The Fez will be able to settle an argument between me and Lindsay.
Oh, good, good.
Do you know what our argument is?
No.
I love the Browns tonight.
Oh, no.
I think the Browns are going to win. Yeah, she said, you should never bet on the Browns. The Browns will disappoint you at every turn. I know this. I grew up in Cleveland. The Browns suck, and you cannot count on the Browns. Lindsay, is that a fair summary of your position?
I'm just saying, every time I pick them in a survivor pool, like, oh, they can't lose this week against the worst team at home, they did. So
they did.
Just remember, there you have it.
All right, so we'll get the Fez's thoughts on the game tonight.
And coming up a little bit later on, fantasy football. Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto, is going to be here.
We'll do
a little
against Ireland this
little
week.
This or that, and we'll get his review of exactly how the game between me and Ireland will play out. And coming up next for you, all kinds of conversation about college football. Now the Big Ten is back. Is the Pac-12 next? We will put that question to Heather Dinich from ESPN. Coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, there's been nothing more confusing than what college football is doing. Everybody seems to be doing their own thing. Yesterday, the Big Ten announced they're going to play. Still no announcement from the Pac-12. And joining us right now, ESPN college football analyst Heather Dinich, who has been all over this story from the very beginning. Heather, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you?
Well, I feel like I want to ask all these commissioners the same thing I ask my kids. Are you sure? Are you sure you're sure? Are you sure? I don't know. Wait a day, it might change.
Right. Well, 100%. And Heather, you've done a great job of trying to stay on top of us, of as you said, a very fluid story. So I'll just ask the question this way and take it any way you want. What is holding the Pac-12 up? All the other major conferences are now in. Why is the Pac-12 out?
Well, they have to wait for the local city public health officials now to give them the clearance. I don't know if that happened today. I did not see. If that happened, I missed it. But that, as of last night when I went to bed at like 11 o'clock Eastern time, was the last piece of the puzzle. And then as soon as they get those clearances for those four schools in California and the two in Oregon, then when the presidents meet tomorrow, I mean, they could conceivably vote about when to return. But that's the last piece of the puzzle. I mean, you do have the tests that are going to be on each campus by the end of this month, and then they will need a certain amount of time to train the staff in how to use those tests and make sure everybody is on the same page as far as the testing protocol. But that's really it. It's the clearance and the presidential vote, and then they're off.
So, Heather, here's the confusing thing. Yesterday, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, said there is nothing preventing, in terms of state guidelines, nothing preventing college football teams from beginning practice and getting ready for a season. Larry Scott said the opposite, said he's waiting for the governor to actually clear him. What's the actual truth there?
So what I've been told, as it is explained to me, was yesterday it was made clear by the state level that there is clearance. Go ahead and play. The state's not holding them back. That was a major hurdle that was cleared yesterday. Now it's at the local level. So now in Oregon, Eugene, they have to make sure that they can do everything they need to do to get more than 12 people on the field, right? There's some strange language in our news story. I think it was like cohorting or something like that. And I'm reading this and I'm like, don't people understand that you can't do 11 on 11 with 12 people total? So that is the last obstacle, is getting that permission to have more than 12 people, from what I understand, at the city level or the county level, right? State says go ahead, but you got to even localize it even further.
Heather Dinich from ESPN is our guest. Heather, you know, I think everybody's assuming when the Big Ten announced, okay, we're coming back and playing football, that anybody who wins the Big Ten and the team everyone's keeping an eye on is Ohio State, because, you know, in the preseason rankings, they were a top five team. If they do well, then they can get into the college football playoff. But I was thinking about this. The SEC and the Big 12, they were go from the beginning. They were saying, we're playing. The Big Ten didn't exactly make them look good by trying to saying, okay, we're not playing. You guys are being unsafe. Are we sure that they're going to let the Big Ten winner into the playoff? Is that something we're all assuming is going to happen? What's the status of that?
Well, a couple things on that. So there's no benchmark determined to this point for a minimum amount of games that you have to play during the coronavirus pandemic to qualify for a semifinal. And the reason that's important is because, as always, they're playing an uneven amount of games, but it could certainly disrupt the team to the point where they don't play two or three games, right? So it's not just, will they let the Big Ten champion in? What if Clemson only plays five games? Will they let Clemson in, right? Will they let Alabama in? And it's Bill Hancock, the CFP executive director, told me that they have not made any such benchmarks to this point because they don't have to. They need to wait longer to see at that point, maybe a month or two, mid-November, before the selection committee starts this meeting, what it's looking like, right? And remember that the people who determine that are the conference commissioners. Larry Scott, Bob Bowlesby, John Swofford, Greg Sankey, Kevin Warren. So the guys who are making that call are also want to probably watch their teams to say, okay, it looks like we might get eight or whatever it might be, right, before they determine that.
Here's the thing with the college football playoff, and I think, you know, the selection committee has got its work cut out for it this year, if in fact the Big Ten is allowed to participate. Because you're going to have the Big Ten, let's say Ohio State goes 9-0, let's say Oklahoma goes 11-1, How do you judge with an uneven number of games?
I asked Gary Barta, Iowa's athletic director, that very question today on his Zoom press conference. He's a selection committee member this year. He's going to be the chair of the committee member. And he just cited the protocol and said that they're going to do it the way they always do it, body of work on the team. And I was like, wait a minute, this is going to be a body of work unlike any other, though. And he said that everybody on the committee has said that they're not going to deal in hypotheticals. They're going to wait until they get to that point, November 15th or 17th, whatever that first meeting weekend is, and then give it a good look then. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you thought the playoff was unfair before, just wait.
Good point. We're talking to Heather Dinich. Heather, do we know, I haven't studied this probably as closely as you have. So Big Ten announces they're coming back yesterday. Do they have schedules yet? Do like Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State and Penn State, like, do we know what their schedules are? Is that all still to come?
It's still to come. It's a good question. And I was told, well, Gary Barta said on his Zoom conference today that he expects it, quote, very soon. He said, I don't want to speculate if it's tomorrow or Monday or whatever, but he said very soon. I think Sandy Barber, Penn State's athletic director, also said on her Zoom today that she expected by the end of the week, which is tomorrow. So it could be a pretty quick turnaround for that announcement.
You know, I am not an epidemiologist. I'm sure you figured that out, Heather. I don't specialize in that field. But there was a game canceled today. The Charlotte, North Carolina game was canceled because of COVID and an outbreak. Is that something that college football is prepared for, the fact that other teams may have to cancel games?
Yes, and that is why the SEC is playing conference only, too, and the Big Ten as well. That was a big part of it, was because they were confident in their testing procedures, meaning, okay, Alabama knows what LSU is doing and vice versa, right? We're all doing the same thing here, tested three times a week. You don't know what Charlotte's doing, right? But at the same time, even with those similar testing protocols, absolutely it could happen because of contact tracing. So that's one of the things that the Big Ten is super excited about, because these daily tests that they're working to procure, guys, they're telling us, doctors and physicians have told us, that these tests can detect the virus before you're contagious.
Wow.
So that would, like, significantly decrease the need for contact tracing.
Yeah.
Right?
Does the Pac-12 have access to the same testing?
So I don't know. So the Big Ten officially hasn't purchased these tests yet. They're still working on the contract agreement. It hasn't been signed yet. I don't know if it's the same company, Quidel. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I don't know if it's the same company as the Pac-12.
But is the Pac-12 going to have something similar, a daily test, a rapid test?
Yeah, they're going to have daily rapid tests as well. I don't know if, I can't remember if any doctor in the Pac-12 said specifically that it does that picks it up before you're contagious.
Yep.
So I can't speculate on that, but I can tell you Big Ten doctors said that yesterday.
All right, Heather, last thing for me. What's the status of, like, you know, normally there's an insane amount of bowl games. Most of those games announced whether they're on or off? Have they all been in a holding pattern? Or what's the status of, there's normally 30 or 40 of those things. What's the status of most of them?
Right. No, that's a great question. So I spoke with the executive director of the Football Bowl Association, but it was like a week or two ago to ask him all of that. And he said that currently, mathematically, it doesn't add up. There's more bowl slots than there are teams playing. Hmm. That was before the Big Ten came back. So
now it's changed again. Yeah.
Yeah. So now there might be enough bowl slots. So one thing that he did tell me, well, two things. One, that they're considering starting the bowls before the championship games, which they don't usually do, but they were thinking mm-hmm. about it because to try to get it in. But B, if you're playing in a bowl before your conference championship game, you're probably not in a conference championship game anyway, if we're being honest. And the second thing was they're considering scrapping bowl eligibility entirely. Because who knows how many teams are going to get to six games or 500 or whatever it might be. And they were honestly thinking about asking the NCAA to just say, hey, look, getting through this season is a reward in itself. You win. It's the Oprah, right?
Right,
and
right.
You get a bowl game. So that hasn't been official yet, but that was my last discussion with him.
All right. Listen, Heather, great stuff. We really appreciate it. We see you all the time on GetUp and all over ESPN. Your information is fantastic. We appreciate you doing this and hope to catch up to you again soon.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. Stay safe out there.
All right. Thanks, Heather.
Nothing official on the Pac-12 at all.
Two things.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, in the beginning when we were talking to her, this will just show you how polarizing politics has become. I said, Heather, what's holding up the Pac-12? And she said, it's up to the local city officials. That's what we're waiting on. And I swore I heard something else.
What?
What rhymes with city?
Oh, I heard that.
And I went, wait. Oh, local city officials.
Yeah, city, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, she totally makes sense now. But I'm so used to hearing people, like, slam the other side.
Right,
That I thought it was okay, because that's number one. And number two, I want to retract something I said earlier in the show.
Oh, good. It's about time.
I totally forgot about this. The Lakers did play the Celtics twice. There was a game in late February that they got in with Boston. Kemba Walker didn't play. LeBron hit a game winner at the end, and the Lakers won by two. So if the Lakers end up playing the Celtics, they split the season series. Boston won big in Boston. Lakers won 114-112 in L.A. Big games for LeBron, AD, and 41 for Jason Tatum. On a day where Kemba didn't play. So that would be a great – well, Lakers-Celtics is great in the finals.
Lakers-Celtics would be unbelievable.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So, but if that happens, they did split the season series. And – the Lakers played Miami twice, and they beat them in both games.
Now, there you go. So
3-1 against Denver, 2-0 against Miami, 1-1 against Boston.
Woo woo! Cakewalk! Give me my cake! I want cake!
Stop that! There is no cake. There is no cakewalk.
All right. At some point, we think this hour, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel is going to join us. Steve Fezzik, the Fez. Our pro sports betting expert will join us too. We think later on this hour, so stay tuned. And at 2:00, we got the scoop, all the stuff we haven't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, the day before the Western Conference Finals, Lakers versus Nuggets get started. This is 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fez. And body beats the Fez. Nobody beats the Fez. 710 ESPN, Mesa in Ireland. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to introduce our football gambling expert, the Fez, Steve Fezzik. Fez, what's going on, man?
Just living the dream, betting on sports, talking about sports. How are you guys?
Fez, it's great to have you back. Let's start right out of the gate with the game tonight. I have a disagreement with our producer, Lindsay. I love Cleveland in this game. I think they were embarrassed last week. I wasn't all that impressed with Cincinnati, who lost on a messed up field goal at the end. The Browns, I only have to give 6, so I don't get caught by the hook. I love Cleveland tonight. What's the right side of that game in your opinion?
Wish I knew. I passed the game. I know I don't want Cincinnati. Burrow disappointed against the Chargers, missed a couple deep balls to A.J. Green and John Ross, and this is a really tough spot for a rookie quarterback. Short week to have to go to Cleveland. But I got to tell you, I don't want Cleveland either. Baker looks so shaky, and Cleveland's upgraded O-line, Conklin and Wills, maybe not 100%, and Cleveland injuries at cornerbacks. Reasons not to like either of the Ohio teams. I'm on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's Lindsay basically doesn't like any Ohio teams.
I thought that you should pick him in your survivor pool. You're ending up for trouble.
Yes. All right, so Fez, I've got a three-team parlay I want to pass by you. Green Bay -6 at home over Detroit. What do you think?
You know, I think the line is inflated. These teams played early last year, and Green Bay was only laying 3. And now this year, Green Bay is not supposed to be as good. I know they looked great last week.
They look great.
And Detroit's supposed to be better, and yet this line is 6. Because of that, I think that you're getting an inflated line based upon how good Aaron Rodgers looked last week. He's going to have to show me more than one great game on passing.
Okay, San Francisco -7 over the Jets.
Oh, we are head-to-head. I don't think San Francisco has the weapons anymore.
Really? Yeah, Debo Samuel's gone. You think they've taken that far, they've regressed that far?
Yeah, so obviously Samuel's not playing. Sanders, they lost during the offseason. Their rookie wide receiver is hurt. And Kittle got hurt at the end of the first half, tweaked his knee. He's not practiced all week long. There's no one left to throw the ball to. Well, that's all right. San Francisco can just run and be effective, right? Well, the one thing the Jets do well is stop the run on defense. So matchup edge to the Jets. I'm on the other side.
So you hate both of my picks so far. And then the last one, the Rams, a one-point favorite. You correct me if I'm wrong. At Philadelphia, I'm on the Rams.
A really tough game because obviously Philly decimated on the O-line, and we saw what happened in the second half. Now, I don't know if Lane Johnson's going to be able to go. He was their third lineman that went down, couldn't play last week. I think that has a big impact on this game. Obviously, the Rams should be able to control the line of scrimmage if Lane Johnson is out. I want to see an injury report right before the game starts. For now, I'm passing. I will say this. Your Rams looked very good, and I think they won the line of scrimmage against Dallas, especially in the second half when they went ahead and put pressure on Dak on every drive.
All right, Fez, here's my three-teamer that I feel very good about the first game. I love the Bears, given 5.5 at home against the Giants. I think the Giants stink. I think the Bears played okay last week, even though they ended up losing. I like the Bears. What do you think?
I've got two words for you. Mitchell Trubisky.
Why'd you have to go there?
I know he had the miracle comeback, but Detroit had 3 guys in the secondary injured, so I put an asterisk by that comeback. I just can't do it. And the wise guys really think that the Bears would be better with Foles at quarterback. I will say this, that giant run game, they're going to have trouble again.
I don't think they can score. Okay, the second game, I love my pick. I'm nervous about the number. I like the Chiefs coming to L.A. to play the Chargers. I was unimpressed with the Chargers' offense. I don't think they can score. I think Kansas City's going to score a bunch, but I have to give 8.5, but I like the Chiefs. What do you think?
Directionally, I like that you want to back the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champions, because, frankly, they've been undervalued by Vegas for a long time. Kansas City's now on a 10-0 straight up and against the spread run. And why has that happened? Because Mahomes got injured the first half of last year, and Kansas City's offense just wasn't that good. Tyreek Hill was out for 4 games. Since Mahomes has been 100%, and since that defense under Spagnuolo has really gelled in the second half of last year, KC, you bet on them and you win. But I got to ask you, has the point spread tax finally caught up to Kansas City with this being 8.5? So it's expensive. I passed.
5.5 was the open, so everybody's betting the Chiefs. All right, and my last one, Fez, is I watched the whole Seattle-Atlanta game. I thought, because Matt Ryan's my fantasy quarterback, I thought Seattle looked great. I think Atlanta kind of came on at the end, but Russell Wilson looked unbelievable. Patriots looked okay, but I don't think they're going to be able to score that way against the Seahawks. I only have to give four. I get Seattle at home. I like the Seahawks. What do you think on Sunday night?
Again, directionally, I love your handicap because Seattle, what's the knock on them by Vegas? Vegas hates Seattle typically because Pete Carroll runs the ball too much. You have Russell Wilson. You have a top five quarterback. Air it out in the first half. And for the first time that I've ever seen this, Seattle did just that against the Falcons. They threw the ball almost two-thirds of the time in that game against Atlanta, despite having the lead. If they do that each and every game, Seattle is suddenly a contender to not win the division, but to win the Super Bowl. However, home of the 12th man, and that Seattle home field is awesome because of the crowd noise with no fans in attendance.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
I don't think I can lay the four because of the point spread tax that's associated with Seattle being at home, so I pass the game.
Okay, before we ask you what your best bet is.
By the way, can I point out he did not like any of her picks, I don't think.
No, well, that's true. You didn't love any of them. But, Fez, I don't know if we've hit your best bet, but quickly, let me get a thought on the Monday night game. The Raiders are opening their new stadium at home, Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, against the Saints. Saints favored by 6. What's the right side of that game?
Vegas is the right side. And gentlemen, I am not a homer. I will pick against the Raiders liberally. So this is.
Oh, so now you're a Raiders fan. Is that right, Fez?
No. This is all about Michael Thomas being out for the Saints. They just got that double-digit win against Tampa. And frankly, the offense did not look that good to me. This was more about the Brady mistakes. First game in Allegiant Stadium, I think that the Raiders will be sky-high for it. My power ratings make it 4. If I can catch 6, absolutely, I think Vegas is the right side.
All right, Fez, did we cover your best bet in one of these games? We asked you about a lot of games, or have we not hit it yet?
We did hit it, but you're going to be upset with me because my best bet on the Jets, plus the 7, and this is...
Really?
You're betting on Adam Gase, Fez?
No. I am betting against the injuries for the 49ers, or what's left of them. I think this is going to be a really low-scoring game, an ugly game. I think San Francisco finds a way to win 16-13, but I do like the Jets to cover plus 7. And I got to tell you guys, you are a lucky show for me with the best bets that I've used, Jets plus 7.
Yeah, Fez, I think last year you hit some insane number, like 15 out of 17. It was unbelievable. Hey, before we let you go, are the Lakers now a clear favorite in the NBA? I'm surprising you with this, I know. Do you know? Are they the clear favorite now?
The Lakers are now minus 160, so you have to risk 160 to win 100 to win the title. So Vegas is saying the Lakers now, with the Clippers dropping out, Lakers 60% to win the title.
Nice. I like that. All right, so Fez, one more time, your best bet is the Jets. Unbelievably. The Jets.
Plus 7. You don't have to watch it. You can just make your bet, cash your ticket.
Jets plus 7 over San Francisco. All right,
Fez,
there you have
it. Great to have you back. It's great to have games again, and we're looking forward to talking to you every week. Thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, we return to normalcy next year. You guys come out to Vegas, I'll take you all out.
Amen. You bet. We'll do it. Amen. We'll do it. The Fez with us every week at this time. Make sure you tune in. And again, his best bet is the Jets plus 7 over San Francisco. Last year, he had an unbelievable run of best bets.
Yeah, I think he only missed 2 the whole year.
Yeah, he missed 2 the entire year. So you can. I would never tell anybody to bet the ranch, but you could probably bet a few dollars on the Jets and feel pretty good about it. I'm on the wrong side of that game.
Yeah, I would think. I would think about changing your parlay.
I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm going to stick with it. I don't like to go back and change it. If I lose, I lose. You know, that's how I view it. I'm making that pick for not stepdad Leo, who was devastated last week. He's a Niners fan. So I made that pick for him.
All right, when we coming up, we're still thinking we're going to track down Frank Vogel in the bubble, and an update from the U.S. Open, where one of us is looking extremely good in Mythical Money, and you will be shocked who it is.
K Captain Golf. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Stats on the three, so I don't know anything about golf.
Evidence to the contrary, my
golf
friend.
Golf dum-dum. I do not golf. I don't watch golf. I don't know golfers except for Bryson DeChambeau, who hits the ball a quarter of a mile. That's about it for my golf knowledge. But, John, we each made bets on the U.S. Open with Mythical Money.
Right.
And you say, am I doing well?
Well. I took five guys. I hit the PGA. I picked Colin Morikawa. I won $30,000 in Mythical Money. So I sent out five more golfers, and Mason sent five back. And he picked three of the same guys I did. So I called him on it. I said, hey, man, pick your own guys. And so you did.
Yep.
So here's the five you picked. John Rahm, 10-1. Justin Thomas, 14-1. Patrick Reed, 40-1. Tony Finau, 35-1. Matt Fitzpatrick, 55. And some guy at 200-1 I've never heard of. Okay, so today they're playing right now at Wingfoot in New York, where it's a really hard course. The leader right now is Justin Thomas, who you have.
Yes.
He would pay you 14-1.
I call him JT, by the way. JT! Yeah.
They all call him that, by the way.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. And in second place, one shot behind Justin Thomas at 4-under par is Patrick Reed.
Yes!
You have the one and the two.
It is really the week of the mace.
It is.
I had the Rams over the Cowboys.
What is going on here?
I had the Clippers going out in the seventh game, and now I own the Winged Foot tournament.
Winged Foot. Yeah.
Is it Winged Foot?
Yeah. W-I-N-G-E-D.
Is it Winged?
Winged Foot. That's the name of the club. It's famous.
Wow. Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, that's good. I mean, now I got a reason to watch golf.
It's in Mamaroneck, New York. I don't even know where that is. M-A-M-A-R-O-N-E-C-K. I'm assuming it's upstate, but I don't know.
Yeah, no clue. Hey, I want to ask you a question. And by the way, at any moment, Frank Vogel could jump in here. We'll see. We hope he will do that. I looked at the NFL ratings last night, and every game, year over year, was down at least 15%, except for the Brady game, which was up 5%. 15%, double digits. What do you think's going on?
I'll say the NBA ratings are down also.
Yeah,
I will say this, or baseball. I will say this. The pandemic has changed everything. I think that people have been forced to adjust their habits. Mace, we didn't even mention that Tom Brady and Drew Brees were going head-to-head until the Friday before.
Sure.
And you mentioned that it did well, that one game. But normally we'd be hyping up the Rams for a month. Rams-Cowboys would have been a huge deal.
Well,
we would have been giving away tickets. You would have been pumping it up every day. So sports is – who was it that – was it Brad Doolittle, the pitcher for the Nationals?
The Nationals, yeah.
Sports is the reward for a functioning society. We still don't have a functioning society.
No, it's totally true. We do not, and we're not there yet. And I also – you know, Juan pointed out something to me the other night. He said, we love this because there's so much going on, but there's also a glut of sports. In other words – you got your NFL, you got your NBA, and you got your Major League Baseball, our three biggest sports all happening simultaneously, which normally doesn't happen, which makes people have to make choices, and you may choose NBA over NFL.
Well, look at Mace. Be honest about this. What are you watching tonight, Browns, Bengals, or Heat, Celtics? Because they're going head-to-head.
Yeah, I'm a big back. I love the back button. You know which one I'm talking about?
Sure, you can bounce around.
That's what I do. I put the two games on, and I bounce back and forth. The Dodgers are playing tonight, too, 5:40 in Colorado. So that will also work into the mix. But basically, like, for example, we were watching episodes of The Sopranos. I'm in the middle of season 6. But once all the games came back, I'm like, no, I've got games on every night. Games are what I do.
Hey, has Ben Kingsley made an appearance yet?
He has made an appearance.
Sir
Ben! Awesome. Nobody plays Ben Kingsley better than Ben Kingsley.
By the way, that scene they had with the swag was so dead on accurate.
I know.
You know, like,
I know.
Like the Emmys are this weekend. There'll be no swag bags because of COVID.
Yeah, there will be no gathering because of COVID. In fact, I'll throw this out. I talked to Alan Ruck from Succession
for
my podcast, and he's awesome. And he said, and this I find this amazing, everybody who has been nominated had to do an acceptance speech in advance and record it and send it in.
That's the only way you could do it.
That means there are a bunch of people who aren't going to win who have done these silly acceptance speeches. Like I often do with my brush in my bathroom mirror, I like to give a good acceptance speech once in a while.
Yes, you are in this for the awards.
Like for we're up for the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I will give an acceptance speech. I'm already working on it, but everybody has to do one in advance, which is crazy. Jimmy Kimmel is hosting. That's Sunday night. All right, coming up next for you is the scoop. All the stuff in sports that we ain't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.